Thank you, guys. I really, really like that song. That God is more than enough for me, more than enough for any of us. Today, we are going to wrap up our series on Heart of the Matter. And first thing, like always, we're going to do our memory verse. So, today, 2 Peter 3:9. And by the way, I've been doing this the entire time in NIV, but I just never told you until my wife reminded me that I probably should tell you guys what version I'm looking at. And so, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in His what? Keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And the more I think about this verse, the more I think about how it really reflects God's heart. Because God does want everyone to come to repentance. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at our core values. We looked at everyone matters. Once a person becomes a Christian, we looked at that everyone belongs to this thing called the church. And then last week we looked at everyone grows, that each of us needs to grow in our relationship with God and with one another. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about everyone serves. And when we say everyone serves, as elders, this is what we drafted up as kind of like a statement of this core value for us. God gives each believer special abilities by the Holy Spirit as a means to serve and build up the whole body of Christ, thus helping the body to grow as it should. This only works as intended when everyone uses their God-given abilities for the benefit of the body. Regardless whether their special abilities are behind the scenes or more visible, whether they are used within the church or for the benefit of unbelievers. The exercise of these special abilities is essential for the proper functioning, growth, and fruitfulness of the body. And what I'm going to do next is I'm going to read basically the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 12. And what I want to do is just, this is not going to be a sermon on spiritual gifts. And I'm not going to go and try to explain what they are, or I'm not going to explain to you how you find out what your spiritual gift is. I just want to establish the fact that God has given to each of us a special ability or special gift. And so just listen as I read through this, and I'll make some comments afterwards. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, as He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each one. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. And then right after this, Paul takes us into 1 Corinthians 13. And the most excellent way is love. And I think no matter what our special giftedness is or our abilities, love is essential in fulfilling those gifts. In Ephesians 4:11-16, I just want to read this real fast to you too. Just kind of re-emphasizes this. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work. In the past weeks, I talked about God pursuing us. He pursued us in the garden after the fall. He He's the one that went through the garden, looked for Adam and Eve. He provided salvation for us. He has pursued us from the very beginning. He draws us to Himself to believe. His Holy Spirit works in us to help us grow. And today we see that He who gives the gifts, it is He who gives the gifts so that we can serve each other, and it is He who holds us together as each part does its work. So today what I'd like to do as we close out this section is to basically take a look next at how do we serve correctly? How do we do it the right way? And then what skills do we actually need to be able to serve each other? And then finally, what is this all about? As we do that, hopefully we'll walk away with a little bit of a glimpse of God's heart and something that we can apply. Then at the very end, I will wrap up kind of some conclusions for the entire series on the heart of the matter. So we're going to take a quick break here. Well, not quick, 15-minute break. And then we'll be back and we'll finish up the series. Grace is an amazing thing. And we have an amazing God that provides it for us. So to pick up with the heart of the matter, little thing in your bulletin says, let's do it the right way. And the reason why I think we have a hard time at times is because our motives become impure. And so I want to look at a passage out of Mark. And right before this in the passage, James and John, sons of Zebedee, had come up and asked Christ if they could sit on His left hand and His right hand in glory. And Jesus kind of said, you really don't know what you're asking. And the other 10 heard of this, and let's pick it up there. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. You know, I think the 10 became a little indignant because I think they wanted to be at the right hand or the left hand. You know, why should these other two guys get to be there? You know, I'm just as good as they are. And then Jesus really explains the true purpose of service. True service and true leadership is self-sacrificing. And Jesus came into this world to demonstrate that. It's not about power. It's not about status. It's about giving yourself for the benefit of others. In Romans 7, 4 through 6, so my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to Him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Here, I think Paul is telling us that we have a new ability. We have an ability to do things that we never had before once we become Christians, once we became a Christian. I have a good friend that is willing to do a lot of things for people. But people always get this feeling that he's doing it for his own benefit. You know, if I help you with this, then later on, you're going to come alongside me and help me with this. And, you know, that's just not the way that we function as Christians. You know, in Isaiah, it says, all of our good deeds are as filthy rags before him. But, you know, now we have the ability to serve in the new way of the Spirit. Like Jesus talked about previously, this new way to serve is self-sacrificing. We don't have to serve with impure motives anymore. We actually have the ability through the Holy Spirit to serve the correct way so that God's glorified as we serve other people. The world doesn't have that ability. And our service now is no longer filthy rags, but it is pleasing to God once we do it correctly. So, what is your skill set? You know, we don't have much in Scripture that says in order for you to serve God, you need to have these specific skills. There's no job description out there that says, now that you're a Christian, you have these skills. And because you have these skills, you can perform this job. There's nothing like that in Scripture. Before the break, we read through 1 Corinthians 12, and it listed a set of gifts that are given to us, to the church, by the Holy Spirit. And I think if you look through all the different lists of spirits of gifts that are given, I think there's 13 in total. And to remember that all the gifts were given for the building up of the body. You need to remember that. In this passage, Paul encourages Timothy not to neglect his gift. And I believe we are not to neglect ours either. Let's read through this, 1 Timothy 4. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. We've been given a gift. And there are things that we can do outside of this service this morning to where we can look to find out what our spiritual gifts are and how we use them. But that's not the purpose of this morning. And since there's not a real skill set given, I think the important thing for us is that we have the heart and mind of Christ as we serve. And so I'd like to look at Galatians 5, 23 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in touch with the Spirit. And if we go to Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I think it's important that we need to realize that in our new nature, we need to think differently, and we need to have our motives based on something that's new or different than what we've ever had before. And I think as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, and as we try to develop those characteristics in our life, and as we think about these things that Paul talks about, what's good, what's pure, what's lovely, if our hearts and minds are being led by the Holy Spirit, we can serve using our gifts properly and glorify God in the process. I don't particularly love being up here and talking to a large group of, well, it's not that it's a large group of people. I can talk to large groups of people. It's probably because this is so critical in our thinking that we have to get rid of that old way of thinking and put on a new way of thinking. And as we put on a new way of thinking, we act differently and we do things differently. You know, I think of when I get around people that are really negative all the time, I start becoming negative. And so what we need to do is really get the mindset of God or the mindset of Christ in us every single day, so that when we're going through this world, we are acting in our new nature, our new natural ability to love and to serve with proper motives. And then the last thing that I really want to talk about is that serving is not about us. It never has been about us, never will be about us. Ephesians 6. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. I think from this passage we learn that part of our duty as being slaves to Christ is doing the will of God from our heart. That once our heart is changed, we can do service to God in the proper manner. And that it will be rewarded. Our obedience will be rewarded. And, you know, earlier I talked about my friend that does things for his own benefit. Here, that's not our motive. Our motive is not that we benefit. Benefits are an outcome of obedience and serving God. Disobedience and not serving God a lot of times brings discipline into our life. So which would you rather have? Obedience? Benefit? Disobedience? Discipline? I prefer to go with the other one, but I know my heart is pretty wicked at times and I continue in my way of disobedience, and then I have to get disciplined. And who likes discipline? Nobody does. So here, even if we benefit, our motive is an act of obedience. And when we obey, just remember there's benefit to that. In 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have, which you have received, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Here it says that we can serve with the strength that God provides. We don't have to serve out of our own strength. We have a God of the universe that's been pursuing us throughout our entire lives, that is there once again providing us the strength to serve the way that we need to serve. And it's not about us. It's about God's glory. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Just like we saw with growing, it's to glorify God. Belonging to a body, the church glorifies God. In the very beginning, I think when I talked about everything matters, and I looked at a passage and it talked about us being jars of clay, and as we open those jars of clay, we shine the light of the glory of God into the world. It's all about the glory of God. It's not about us. So when we started this series, we started with Jonah. And what we learned from Jonah was that he was a man that was chosen by God to speak for God. And yet, as we look through the book of Jonah, we never saw him develop a heart for God. We saw him resist and flee and be obedient, then become grumbling and wants to go off and sulk by himself. And even after God explains and demonstrates to him compassion and mercy, we still see Jonah not responding properly to God. And so he was kind of an example of what we don't want to be. We want to be people that learn the heart of God. As we looked at Everyone Matters, we saw that God has been pursuing man from the beginning, and that He desires that all come to repentance. I think we should be convinced that God created us to be in a relationship with Him and with others. That He cares for each one of us personally. That He has provided a way of redemption based solely on His ability to do so, that we have nothing to do with it, but He has provided it for us. And that once we know His love, we should start to share, demonstrate, and practice it with other believers and for people not in the family of God. And as we share this love with others, we may see the glory of God. And as He is exalted, those who have been blinded by Satan, their eyes will be opened, so that they can come in a relationship with God. We need to have a mindset or a heart that sees the lost and pursues them the same way that God did, so that they can come into a loving relationship with Him. When we looked at Everyone Belongs, we saw that once we believe that Jesus has provided us with salvation, that we belong to some mysterious thing called the church. And in this church, we now have the honor of demonstrating God's love to the world. We are now a beacon to the world of God's love. And that we need to show love to one another, and we need to show love to people outside of us, outside of the church. And we can only do that as God loves through us. We can't do it on our own. And then the final thing about that is, once we belong, we always belong to God. There's nothing that can separate us. We can break our fellowship with Him, but He's provided ways to reestablish that. But we belong to Him eternally. Everyone grows. Once we belong to God, He desires for us to grow and mature in our relationship with Him. He doesn't want a bunch of babies. He wants to see mature followers of Him becoming more and more conformed to the image of His Son. That He has provided us with Scripture, the Holy Spirit, and other believers to help us grow. And we need to use those responsibilities. And we have a responsibility to help other Christians grow. And that we were designed to do good works. That's one of the new things. That's one of the things that has changed about us. In our new nature, we are designed to do good. And as we do good, God is glorified. Growing is a process that continues throughout our life. And it may involve discipline at times. But God pursues us and has provided us the means so that we can grow and be conformed to the image of His Son. From Everyone Serves, I think it's very simple. God has gifted each one of us in a unique way. Serving is self-sacrificing, and each of us needs to realize that God has given us the ability to serve properly. Our attitudes and our motives need to be guided by the Holy Spirit, and serving is not about us. It's all about doing or serving for God. And it's all that so that He can be glorified. I have a short video to show you. All the other elders teased me last week that I cheated by showing a 10-minute video at the end. But here's a video that's a song that you'll be able to see the words and read the words. But just think about it, because I think this is what God desires from us. So when we started the series, we wanted to look and see if we could learn more about God's heart. Just a few things that I come away with as I've looked at this over the last 2 months, maybe longer, is that God has pursued man from the beginning, and He continues to do so in every aspect of our relationship with Him. That we matter so much to God that He sent His Son to die for us. That once we are saved, He doesn't stop pursuing us, but that He provides the means for us to grow and become more and more conformed to the image of His Son. And that He desires for us to grow closer and closer to Him and to glorify Him in every aspect of our lives. And just as He pursued us, we need to pursue the lost. His heart is for the lost. And his heart is to see them redeemed and then to watch them become more like his son. I think if our heart is like God's heart, then we will start doing the same things. We will start pursuing the lost. As they get saved, then we will help them mature and grow in Christ so that He's glorified in the end. Because He does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Let's close in a word of prayer. God, as we contemplate Your heart and what that means, and as we think about how our hearts are new in You, that we don't have to be slaves to sin anymore, but we can be slaves to Christ, growing and maturing and walking through this world in a way that's different, that glorifies You. Help us to develop a heart for You, just as David cried out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I just pray that You would do the same in all of our lives, so that we are truly representing You in the proper way here on this earth. We thank You for all that You do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.